This is HPR episode 2460 entitled, The Alien Brothers Podcast, S01E03, Decline of American Empire. It is hosted by The Alien Brothers Podcast, ABP, and is about 114 minutes long, and carries an explicit flag. The summary is, The Alien Brothers penetrate the Van Allen belt to tap in, and transmit an intergalactic podcast.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by Archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
The Alien Brothers Podcast with Casper and Rediger.
Okay, here we go.
Three, two, one.
Go. It's the Alien Brothers Podcast. Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hello.
Welcome.
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 Welcome, everyone.
Welcome, listener. Hello.
Welcome, ladies. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hey, ladies. Funky. Welcome. Ding, ding, ding,
girls
ding,
and boys, welcome non-identifying gender types of all sorts. Welcome animals of the forest. Welcome aliens, especially.
Welcome
in this dimension or another.
Welcome Mr. Tumless from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Wow, that's a deep pool.
Going back in time, not into the future. Going back in time.
Yeah.
This is Rediger, and with me is my constant podcasting companion for the Alien Brothers Podcast, Casper. Hello.
Thank you, everybody.
How are you, Casper?
I'm doing well. I'm doing very well.
Yeah.
And that's the last of that you're going to hear on this podcast, because the last one I listened to and I was not happy with my performance. So I'm going to try and raise the bar here a little bit.
Why weren't you happy with your performance?
Too much stuttering. My mind was overwhelmed with things it should not have been overwhelmed with, but now my mind is clear and I'm ready to podcast.
Mind like water?
What, like water?
Mine's like water. You never heard that phrase before?
I've never heard that phrase before.
I don't know where it comes from, but I know as part of the getting things done movement, it was picked up as a moniker or as a mantra. You know, you want to keep lists, and I do you know what I'm talking about by getting things done? Maybe for the benefit of our listeners, we should talk about getting things done for just a second, because you know I tend to explain things quickly. So here we go. Getting things done, getting things done, or GTD, as the hip getter dunner might refer to it.
If you explain it as hip, it is no longer hip, FYI.
It's a life hack, personal productivity methodology that was certainly 10 years ago experiencing quite a bit of, 10 maybe more years ago, renown among the life hacker, lifehacking, like lifehacker.com. crowd. And it's basically boils down to the idea that if you can train yourself to manage a set of essentially task lists, and you're more or less always focused on the next and the reason I think it was a big deal 10 years ago or a little longer or whenever, and I should probably shout out to the guy who wrote the book Getting Things Done, but I can't think of his name, and we'll put it in the show notes.
Oh, yeah, we're recording yet. Hey, Gerald, settle down. All right.
Oh, God.
Yeah, we are recording, okay?
I'm especially glad to not...
Just stay over there. Okay. So, sorry about that.
So I'll just wrap it up. The idea for anyone interested, and especially if you do knowledge work or have to manage a lot of anything else that requires managing a lot of concurrent tasks that are sometimes highly asynchronous, is that you manage lists of different contexts, where a context could be I'm working in my home office, or I'm in the car, or I'm on the phone or in front of a phone. And basically the idea is that you shit everything out of your brain into these lists and train yourself to refer to and work through the list, so you don't have to keep it in your head, so you don't wind up ruminating on all this crap I got to get done. And that way you can have mind like water.
So essentially what you're saying is organization.
Yeah, but I was describing a very specific actionable approach to organization, whereas organization is a dictionary definition word that has multiple meanings.
To each their own. So welcome to the Alien Brothers podcast.
This is the Alien Brothers podcast. This is not another podcast.
Yes, this is the Alien Brothers podcast, or ABP.
Season 1, sure. Episode, quote-unquote, 3.
3. No, it's not quite. It's 3.
Happy holidays. Start. Happy holidays to you, Casper.
Happy holidays to you, Rutiger. Did you get that thing I sent you?
You send me things daily. You send me... I can feel it coming through the ether, your love and support.
Did you get that physical thing that I sent you via snail mail?
Well, you know, love can be a physical thing.
Yeah, but I can't...
If you're saying you haven't gotten it. I might have. It could be in this small mountain of mail sitting here that normally goes directly from small mountain to shredder. But in this case, assuming you're not joking with me, I will look through it carefully.
Take a little look-see. I believe my handwriting is unique. And I believe I put a return address on there. So let me know if you got that thing I sent you.
Okay. By now I certainly must have, unless it was lost in transit or stolen by my soon-to-be ex-roommate. But I doubt either of those things happen, and I look forward to it. Thank you.
All right.
On the flip side, I'm sad to report I have sent you nothing in the mail.
Well, that's okay. I told you I was sending you something a while ago. It took me about a week to get around to it because my mind was not water, as you say. But in the process of turning my mind from stone to water, I was able to send out the thing that I said I would send you. It's nothing big. Is it just a small thing?
Well, when you say it's nothing big, is it bigger than a bread box?
It is not bigger than a bread box.
Is it roughly envelope-sized?
It is roughly envelope-sized. I actually had to use a vise to fit it into an envelope.
So it was something that was potentially like bread box size, but you turned it into envelope-sized with a vise.
No, it was about envelope-sized, but just slightly bigger than envelope sized. So I did a little bit of postal hacking, if you will.
Nice.
And used the old vise and crimped it down to envelope size. And if it does not get delivered, maybe it's because it got shredded in the post office system, in the mechanics, because that does happen when you try to squeeze things into envelopes.
Well, I'm sure it's here, and I thank you in advance. And it's, even if it's not, it's the thought that counts. But you certainly had a eventful couple of weeks. Do you want to talk about that at all or no?
No, not at all. I would not like to talk about that at all. All I'd like to say is that I'm on the good foot, doing well. I have had an interesting couple of weeks, but it is all for the better. And we've discussed this in detail, and I'd prefer not to go into detail, but let's just say life is a windy road. And
yes.
You go a little to the left, a little to the right, and then you find yourself around the center.
Okay. Well,
it's a wise man used to say.
Was that Paul McCartney?
No, that was that was on your previous podcast.
Okay. Well,
a little to the left, a little to the right, you end up somewhere in the middle.
I was probably referring to the way I would like to operate, but you know, you have my emotional and spiritual support, so.
As you have mine.
Anything you need, Casper, as long as it doesn't involve money.
No, in fact, money is not something that really anyone needs. I don't think. People need food. They need water. They need clothing and shelter. However, money is not necessarily. I don't think you really need money. Hmm. I think anyone needs money as much as they need, say, Bitcoin or rubles or any other denomination of fiat currency.
Fiat currency, stored value.
Or a form of debt. Which is a great segue into what I believe, I don't know if we decided on the topic.
Well, I think we decided on two, and you want to launch into the first one. And before we do that, do we want to take care of show business, or should we save that for later on?
But there's no business like show business.
Okay, we'll save it for later on then. So I think we had for two topics, and with no further ado, let's thank you listeners for enduring the 11 minute going on 3, 2, 1, 12 minute intro, and we're back on the rails. And Klaatu, if you're out there, mad props, respect.
Mad
OG,
props.
OG of the this podcast.
The HPR.
Yes,
the HPR
you.
Community.
Thank you for reminding me the name of the community.
Getting this down is, this with is, the HPR community.
The only,
come on.
The last thing I'd like to say before we go to content is, I am attempting to make things better for the listeners. I know my mouth breathing and nose breathing has been awful, and I have been lazy by not editing it out in post. And tonight I am making a conscious effort and a chemical effort through Afrin on the nasal side, and not breathing through my mouth on the other. So I'm going to do the best I can. As I was mentioning to Casper before the podcast, I don't know if I can post another episode where, to me, the listening quality was so extremely poor. I just
try not to scratch yourself either, and also turn off or down your cell phone so it doesn't make a ding or a, you know, one of those things. Okay. If you could please.
Okay, I'll do my best. So you, and I just heard you doing it. Good job. Way to be a thought leader there. So Casper, what's our first topic tonight?
Well, I think the thing on everybody's mind right now, and of course this podcast won't be uploaded probably for another month, but
today is November 15th, 2007, or sorry, December 15th,
December
2007. 15th. Yeah. Yeah. Where's the time go?
It's ephemeral.
But it's a timely topic.
net neutrality or net neuterality.
Yeah.
Was passed. They passed net neuterality and they got rid of net neutrality.
Okay, so do you want to explain that a little bit? And we're free-forming it here, folks. So, and that will be a surprise to each and every. Do you want to do a little explanation about net neutrality?
Sure.
I'm going to assume everyone listening knows, but let's not. So,
oh, you're getting all with it, all right?
Oh God. Yeah, Gerald gets really upset if we don't stay on topic.
Well, he's just the producer. He should care about how the levels look, and that's about it.
I know.
I was talking to you, Gerald. That's right. Yeah. Okay.
You've got the bad clone of Gerald. I've got the good clone.
Well, it's only one.
Net neutrality.
So yeah,
we net neutrality. The way I described it to some friends, and I think this is something that pretty much anyone could relate to. So what they're going to do is take the internet, and the internet will no longer be the internet as you know it, where you can go to any site that you want to in most countries. In most countries, there are no blocks or barriers, with the exception of China, soon to be Russia, and maybe even in the US to a unknown degree. But you can go anywhere you want. What they are going to do is make your internet package no longer just about speed or the amount of bandwidth you're using. They can now tier access. So let's say I've got a Netflix subscription. I pay $8 a month for that. Oh, well, if you want to watch Netflix with your internet, you have to get the premium internet package that allows for streaming of Netflix, which starts at $99.99 a month.
Mm-hmm.
You want to watch YouPorn or Pornhub? Oh, that's our extra premium with special features. So that starts at $139.99 a month.
And I do.
Instead of, oh, yeah, I mean, who doesn't? And that's the easiest way that I've been able to explain it to friends and family.
So if I understood correctly, because I've never heard of this net neutrality before, let me break down what I heard into two factors. So it's about whether or not A, the net is quote unquote free. I say quote unquote because free means different things, but in this context, free in terms of access to content, or whether that content is filtered by a government or NGO or internet service provider or other entities. So I think the example you used is in the United States currently or historically, we have fairly unrestricted internet access to sites, certainly within our own country and across our borders. North Korea, on the other hand, probably might be the whipping boy example of the most restrictive, where there is effectively an entire internet that is entirely run by the North Korean government that has practically nothing on it. And
are you mixing up North Korea and China?
No, North Korea is a totalitarian state that's attached to South Korea and does not have, what are we up to, 3-4 billion people living in it? That would be China. North Korea has an internet, it's just a completely state-controlled internet. China has a less state-controlled internet. Russia, I have no idea where the deal is. So yeah, China...
No, Russia's going to ban VPNs in their country.
Mm-hmm.
So you can no longer VPN over to Russia if you use a VPN. And they are also going to ban I believe they're putting in a firewall similar to China.
Okay, so that's
a goal.
That I would describe that as the left hand of the conversation, which is restricting access to destination sites, restricting access in terms of types of traffic that can run over it, like whether encrypted traffic of certain types, such as VPN, as you just referred to, is allowable, where it's allowed, things of that nature, things that are content related. The right, and then if I heard you correctly, the right side of the conversation is tiering access based on bandwidth and on throughput and capacity, throughput being how fast you go, capacity being how much you use.
We already have that. That's already been allowed, and that's already in effect.
Thank you for pointing out one of the points I was going to. That's nothing new, but it seems to be, in the minimal research I've done, the two points get intermixed and confused and commingled almost in every conversation that's being had by plebs, meaning, you know, politicians or, you know, people who aren't subject matter experts on it, but they both pop up in the net neutrality conversation, and they're the main two points that I'm aware of that pop up in net neutrality. So there's the paying more for more bandwidth piece of it, because I guess we'll get to the arguments. I'm assuming we're leading to a pro and con debate here. The content access freedom piece and the how much you pay more to go faster, pay more to consume more piece. But you understand why I'm segregating.
No. You that was just the left-hand argument.
So what's the right-hand argument?
You're just talking about being charged for bandwidth, the amount of so maybe you have a 50 gigabyte cap on your home internet connection, and once you go over that, you pay more. That's already in effect for a lot of companies.
Yes, true.
And you're also talking about speed. The more you pay, the better speed you can get. That's also already in effect.
Yes, true.
So net neutrality has nothing to do with those things.
Okay. Those come up in practically every popular net neutrality conversation you have. Every popular conversation inevitably, just as you described in your own description of it, drags Netflix into it. Because they consume a radically disproportionate amount of internet traffic, or its users do, right? So Netflix, I mean, to dig down into that one for a second, Netflix, last time I checked, is an $8 billion company. They consume an outrageous, when you consider the front and the back end, I mean, the consumption side from their side is coming from their content pushers, from their content cloud, and then we at home are pulling their content, but I've heard everything from 20% to 35% of the US's internet traffic. And if either of those numbers are correct, for an $8 billion company, that's insane. I mean, that very much to me, to jump right into the argument, makes the point that there has to be bandwidth tiering payment. Because the internet infrastructure doesn't grow on trees. Someone has to build it and maintain it.
It's not like the power of the internet, just like the power of all technology grows exponentially, and it's a taxpayers paid for what the internet is running on. It's not like we've already paid for that infrastructure.
So here's a simple question that I think kind of gets to part of the core of the argument. So is the internet a public infrastructure?
That is what people against repealing net neutrality believe, that the internet is now a more important infrastructure than television or phone service or, you know, sometimes even electric or gas. If you're looking for a job, if you're trying to, say, get an Uber or a Lyft, if you're trying to order a pizza, you may need the internet for this.
Exactly.
In some instances. And that is the argument for keeping net neutrality, but also for municipalities running their own infrastructure and building their own internet, providing net neutrality through their municipalities, which will make these big companies, Comcast, Verizon, compete with those municipal broadband networks.
Right. So let me, I guess, phrase the question again in a slightly different way. So So let's talk about the United States, since we're talking about the infrastructure side of it now. We're not talking about the content piece of it. So how do I want to put this simply? So I agree that the internet is critical, what we historically in America have considered critical infrastructure, which would be highways, bridges, it's electricity.
It's also taxpayer funded.
It's in part taxpayer funded. If you're talking about the internet,
Was it not created by DARPA? DARPA not a government agency?
Yeah, but the cost of developing ARPANET in 1969 compared to the cost of building network and maintaining network infrastructure, there's no connection. That's like the difference between the patenting something, you know, as proof of art, and, you know, actually building something based on that concept. So just because a government agency, a skunk works one at that, created the template for a resilient network that was not based on any one backbone, that doesn't make it public domain. And in taxpayer dollars, in the vast majority, have not paid for the infrastructure that the internet runs on. That's paid for by Google, that's paid for by phone companies, that's paid for by internet service providers. It's not paid for by taxpayer dollars.
Phone lines, I believe, were in large part taxpayer funded at a time.
Yeah, but okay.
So just like electricity, the telephone lines. And remember, it wasn't that long ago that all of the internet was run over telephone lines. Yes?
It wasn't that long ago, but the amount of bandwidth that runs over the internet, in which I guess would be one way of describing the size of it, has gone up many, many orders of magnitude since then. So yeah, it wasn't that long ago, and in some places in the country, you still can't get anything but a dial-up line, which of course municipalities and Googles and everyone else are trying to fix by having balloons doing Wi-Fi and stuff like that. I mean, I'm not kidding. Isn't that one of Google's things? You know, and good on them, right? So that's the point.
Oh yeah, good on that, because when you actually connect to some Google or Facebook balloon, you'll find that your choices are very, very limited as far as where you want to go.
Of course.
So.
And why and is those that? Are in,
well, one, it's in other countries, so it was not subject to the net neutrality regulations that we have in the U.S. And two, is exactly because of the point that you raised, it's because it's their own infrastructure that they built completely independently on their own. It had nothing to do with taxpayers.
Right. Now, when a company decides, so I agree with you. So when a company, that's the motivation there. And when a company decides to build some infrastructure, it's up to them what provisions they associate with its use. Back to the core question, and it comes down to a historical one, which is why I think our legislators and everyone else is choking on this, is historically in America, when critical infrastructure becomes critical infrastructure, it becomes regulated. We've seen that with the phone companies. It becomes highly regulated. Whoa! Now it's deregulated. Okay, so now it's regulated again. Oh, it's too big. We have to break it up. There's like a pendulum that goes on. And
okay,
you've been alive for part of it, right?
Let's not bring ageism into this. Come on.
Well, I mean,
it's okay. Just a number.
Let's just say, I mean, at least at like 8 or 9, I could remember the making of the baby bells, right? So before then, okay, there was a huge fucking phone company, and they said, "Oh, monopoly, and anti-competitive, ergo prices too high, service too crappy, but break it up and regionalize it." And then, okay, that trots along for a while. Some of the laws change, and what happens is you wind up with consolidation,
you wind up with paying a lot more for a lot less.
Yes, indeed, that's the nature of trusts and one of the natures of trusts and antitrust
and monopolies.
So here's I guess a key question.
Speaking of monopolies, I think it is worth mentioning, because this is very topical to net neutrality, and it happened nearly in complete synchronicity. But Disney bought Fox.
Oh yeah, there's huge correlate. I mean, I can't say if that's the prime motivator, but it's a huge influence.
It was net neutrality is repealed, and oh, by the way, we're doing this.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Though the media, remember that pendulum. It's consumption, growth, consolidation, consolidation, consolidation. Who was it 5 years ago? Comcast and AT&T and who? Was it AT&T and Comcast? I should know this, but I...
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the big merger that got approved 3 or 4 years ago, and, you know, the cable provider side of it, who I think was Comcast, was like...
No, that was Time Warner.
Okay. Whoever, but you know, their big wigs are on the tube saying, yes, this is happening.
Maybe it was Comcast and NBC.
Maybe I should. This is the benefit of
there,
research.
There's so many mergers and so little time.
Yeah,
so many mergers, such little time.
It's like, well, all the mergers happen first or the singular. And also, one more note on monopolies: I prefer to play as the dog. But the head was some honchos on the news saying, yeah, the merger's happening, and basically we can't tell you that it means internet prices will go down. We can't tell you that it means they'll stay the same. We can't tell you how much they'll go up. Right.
So the brainchild, or not the brainchild, but the catalyst to bring this about, no surprise, everyone should be familiar with the Ajit Pai. I went to the store to buy an Ajit Pai, but they were all sold out.
I don't know what that is. What is that?
Ajit Pai is the name of the guy who is the head of the FCC.
Okay. That's a good one.
So now you may get the joke. If I went to the store to buy an Ajit Pai, but they were all sold out, you might get it. Okay. Anyway,
this is the guy who came from the media companies, right?
He was a Verizon lawyer.
Okay.
And then he became the head of the FCC, and he's repealing net neutrality. And everybody pretty much knows as soon as he's done doing that, he's going to go back, start working for Verizon again. And I think he might get a little bit of a raise, maybe a bonus, maybe who knows what he's going to get. He might get his own island.
So is it
Larry Ellison style?
Is it fair to say that your belief, in which case I would agree with you, is that this is all happening to be self-serving in the interest of corporations, and that it's basically to their benefit and to the consumer's disservice.
That would be my belief.
Okay. Because that's kind of the crux of the argument, and that's what you think is going to happen now based on the repealing of whatever protections have been put in place. These are the type of things that would be wonderful to know had I studied before we decided this was going to be the topic 45 minutes ahead of time. But
it's a clear-cut case of monopolization, price gouging, and continuing on this path of the race to the bottom, where you have zero, you have one choice, and it's you buy from the one company that gives you service in your area, or you don't get service in your area. There are some places that literally just have one company serving them. Mm-hmm. This isn't going to increase competition. This is going to decrease competition, because the only people that are going to be able to play in this new arena are the companies that are owning content already, like Comcast owns NBC, right? You've got Disney, who I believe owns, they own most of the cable company network, because they own ESPN, and basically when you pay for your cable bill, the money all goes to Disney first, because ESPN is the most expensive cable channel, and then Disney distributes the rest of the money to everybody else. It's a weird, weird system.
So, if we agree that this maneuver is to be self-serving to the companies, and we're expressing our position that it's going to further limit choice, I guess to move beyond that,
How do we get around that? How do we fix that? How do we mitigate that? How are we, as members of the Hacker Public Radio community, what are we to do?
Wow, that's what a great question for our audience.
And my thought, and I was actually just watching the Jimmy Dore show, which I strongly encourage people to watch. Jimmy Dore, they were talking about, like I was talking about earlier, municipalities. Apparently in Chattanooga, Tennessee, or Chattanooga, Tennessee, they have free internet there. It's great. Everybody loves it. You can get internet anywhere for free. But most people never hear about this kind of thing, because that's not the kind of thing that the media wants to report. That there's a successful municipality that runs free internet, and hey, there's free internet in this city. In Colorado, they're also doing that as well. But what we can do on a community level, I think, is try to invest in networks. It's the proverbial tin can and string. There's a lot of do-it-yourself projects that you can do. It's similar to the way Comcast will broadcast an Xfinity signal, that anyone with Xfinity can just pick up on. Mm-hmm. Except instead of that, we create one that's a community-based one that is not related to a brand or anything. It's a free, open internet that anyone can jump onto.
So somebody has to have built a device or a platform that's doing that. It seems so obvious.
Yes, there are platforms. There's a lot of people trying to do this. And a lot of times they'll characterize it as, Internet 2.0 or 3.0. I know that there was an Internet 2, which was a high bandwidth thing between universities, but it never, I guess, caught on. I don't really know what the status of that was. And I've known people, even growing up, that built their own networks in small neighborhoods, and they were successful small business owners, and they made a good amount of money, and they were able to you know, provide access for a lot of people that might not have been able to afford access otherwise.
So it's
possible. You can do it.
It sounds like in our show notes, we need to have some links to, since we're not referencing them by name right now, we should have some names to some of these projects that are getting off, and maybe some links to how we can support them. Because at the Alien Brothers podcast, one thing I'll say is that, you know, we're talking big ideas here, and we'd love to get into every specific. I certainly would love to get into every specific, but I can't do it. I'm an old man. Okay.
It takes too much time. I think we're already pushing the limits on Hacker Public Radio with our 2 hour long podcasts.
Yeah. That's one envelope that might need to continue to be pushed. You know, as a wise man once said, and his name was Chris Farley, you can push the envelope, just don't lick it. So with that, do you think we have more on net neutrality, or should we take a break and let that simmer with the promise that we'll do some show noting, and that as it stands today, things are going to get more horrible when it comes to choice.
Everything.
I mean, I'll just so I can contribute something to this conversation, and we very much, because this is Hacker Public Radio, and because this is the Alien Brothers podcast, we very much are looking forward to the feedback that will certainly come, because we need
our growth has been exponential.
Well, I do want to get to that. That's what I kind of meant about administrative
did
business.
You know that -4 times -4 is 16?
Plus 16, yes.
Exponential growth here, folks. All right, I say we go on to the next topic. I'm ready. Are you ready? Do you need a break?
Yeah, I need a break, but I'd like to just provide just a few data points to this thing before we. Oh, excuse me. Oh no.
Yeah, was that the thing you said you weren't going to do at the start?
I said I wasn't going to mouth breathe or make excessive nose noises.
I'm just taking the piss, chap.
So, in my particular neck of the woods, I have it better than most when it comes to network access. Not in my dwelling specifically, but here we have, here being Arlington, Virginia, the Ballston.
Did you tap into some dark fiber? Did you split some optical cables and get in on the ground floor on some deep dark net?
If I had. All the things I got in on the ground floor on are all exploding now, and are all things I've sold. So I have like Homer Simpson, I have an uncanny ability to realize just when things are going to peak. Like the pumpkin market always peaks just around the end of February. So all those pumpkins you buy before Halloween, you're going to want to hang on to them. In February, that's when the price is going to, that's the time to sell. I'm guessing you didn't see that episode of The Simpsons. But here in Arlington, were I not living in this dwelling, my internet options would be outstanding. Now, of course, this is the first ring of suburbs outside Washington, D.C. A lot of tech, a lot of young people, a lot of government, a lot of DARPA. In fact, I live 5 blocks from DARPA, since you mentioned that, here in the Ballston neighborhood of Arlington. So we have Verizon.
I think you're a clone. I think you might be a clone. I might be being shilled right now.
We have Verizon Fios. We have, of course, whatever is the satellite thing now, Dish. Is it still called Dish?
I guess.
The one that runs on Hughes, or on EchoStar, I should say. We have Xfinity. So those are the wired options we have. I don't have it in all three of those options in my dwelling, because I'm in a building that was built in the 50s, so I don't have Fios, and they don't just as policy allow us to put dishes up. So I do have
Can't you just run a cord over from DARPA? It's like 5 blocks away. Can't you just Ethernet cable?
It would be
cable?
so easy. But I'm sure it's possible. It's possible. Man,
the old Dale Gribble just sneak in through the window, plug it in?
It's amazing. It's amazing to think about what's going on over in that building, and just like so close. And
they're probably thinking the same thing about what's going on in your building.
There's no question. I mean, there's no question about it. But then on top of that, we have a relatively good AT&T signal in the Northeast Corridor, especially here. Not in this building again specifically because the walls are made of lead paint. I think the whatever brick or whatever was underneath them is long since eroded, so it's kind of just the lead paint fossil. So I'm kind of in a Faraday box as far as that, although apparently it's working well enough for us to communicate right now. And you know, we get other, you know, and I mentioned that as an option because I hotspot with AT&T, you know, on those occasions when Xfinity's having a bad day. Although I should say service is quite excellent for the most part. But I'm paying the Xfinity tax, of course, I have their fancy internet, and I can't tell you what that means in terms of committed consumer bandwidth, but it's like $130 a month with my fancy pants content plan, which isn't all the content, but it's like most of it. So I am on the very privileged end. I just have to say, not to be elitist, but I'm just saying I'm on one end of the spectrum, whereas you might not have as many choices, and Chattanooga might have fewer. But then again, you know, we're in the nation's capital and we're important. The nation couldn't live without us.
We're American and we're exceptional.
American exceptionalism. What options do you have short of running cables? And by the way, in our dorm room in Virginia,
Comcast or Verizon.
That's it. And or satellite.
Satellite.
So you're
and nobody does anybody really like Dave Matthews that much?
One of my groomsmen's wife's a huge fan of Dave Matthews, the DMB.
Yeah, I had a buddy that was a fan of the cover band of Dave. Oh, dude, I don't even know why. Once satellite, and it's like, what? Come on.
I got it. I got it.
Jumping the shark. That's the song that jumped the shark.
I got the reference. I am not ashamed to admit I saw the Dave Matthews Band on at least two occasions at South Main Cafe in Blacksburg, Virginia, before they exploded, because they probably played there easily twice a month, and because they would just do the Charlottesville, Blacksburg, Radford, JMU, you know, Central Western Virginia circuit. And
hey, brah, you going to the concert, brah?
We just went because the chicks were into it, and they would get loaded, and you'd hope to pick up some, you know, commit some unintentional felony of some sort, you know.
That's definitely something that we do not officially endorse here on the Alien Brothers podcast.
No, we don't. And none.
We do not endorse felonies, nor do we endorse misdemeanors or crimes of any nature.
Yeah. And in the nature of disclosure, I have a misdemeanor, but I'm not looking for more. As I mentioned, I think in the first episode, it's been a while since I've been on the inside. I don't want to go back.
In the nature of full disclosure, I used to have a miss, but I was not a fan of her demeanor, so I kicked her out.
Wow. You have the skills to pay the bills. You're just like coming at it. I don't know what direction you're going to come at it next.
That's what I do.
What you did right now was just kind of like flying out of the sun. What could happen next is just like you could come out of another dimension.
Burning white hot, sir. Burning white hot. I wanted to give you the opportunity to do an Alien Brothers podcast.
Well, thank you.
Since you got off of work.
Thank you.
And I knew that your text messages were a little too concise. And I had a feeling. I had a feeling you needed some love, even if it's tough love. And I've listened to some of our episodes in the past, and I realize I can come off as a jerk, and I get that. But it's just to motivate you. It's think of me as the Marine saying, you know what, just take it one step farther.
I would say, if anything, you're way too lax on my BS. But no, I mean, if people were, you know, less tolerant of my bullshit, I think the world would be a better place. So yeah, don't stop by any means.
Don't stop. Get it.
And to add some color commentary, as the loyal Alien Brothers listener, well, I don't know how much we've talked about this. In my early recovery job, I work at a Harris Teeter as the backup scan coordinator. So I work at a grocery store. I have a 20-year career in IT and a couple degrees, and I'm working in a grocery store. And there's nothing wrong with working in grocery stores, by the way, but that's what I'm doing, so my work doesn't follow me home at the moment. And yeah, it's as a peon in a grocery store, it's like you're supposed to not even probably have a cell phone on you, much less looking at it. So I have to go on a break or something, and at that point I'm catching up on whatever, however many number messages. So yeah, you're getting probably some pretty opposite of the verbose type of shit. And I'm at work, which is probably means I'm not
in a good mood.
Yeah, I'm probably not overjoyed at the moment. So you kind of know how that goes, right?
I know how it goes. I just get concerned when I don't get a text message less than a novel. I know something's not right on Rutiger's side. So I have to sometimes give Rutiger a call. I have to say, hey, are you okay? Is everything okay? Are you on a good path? Are we on track? Or is everything good? And I have to say, within the last year, everything has been good. And I'm very happy about that. Are we coming up on a year now?
In terms of my sobriety date? Yeah, it'll be January 28th, 2018. So 11 months coming up this month. The big 12er. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, Gerald.
Oh, thank you, Gerald.
He was clapping. He's sweet.
Have you ever talked to anyone professionally about people that don't exist that you think do?
What are you talking about?
So,
are you talking about Gerald?
Should we? No. Do you want to have? Should we have a little fun non sequitur before we rocket into the second topic? And I do believe that our listeners do deserve a break.
That's the sound of the break.
We'll
be right back. Casper and Rutiger on the Alien Brothers podcast.
Take them on a sonic voyage, Casper.
Right after this break.
Here. I got a feeling. If the numbers at the register don't come out right up, it's gonna be a bad time for me. I got up in the evening, blues falling down like hail, Gotta hang it in those tags up, we mock them up, we mock them down. It's got a bad feeling this time. I gotta learn to get mittens. I gotta learn to get some mittens, cause I gotta hang those tags in the ice cream section of the store. My hands hurt. This is the Alien Brothers Podcast.
This is the Alien Brothers Podcast with Casper and Rudiger. Thank you for bearing with us during that short commercial
that
break.
I cannot wait to hear that.
I can't wait to hear more of that band. What was that? I believe that band was called Skinny Kitty. So thanks to Skinny Kitty for submitting that. That was incredible. Skinny. Wow.
Okay. All right. You know that. Skinny Kitty.
They need to submit some more to us.
Skinny Kitty was the name of a band that appeared in a season of MTV's The Real World. Did you know?
Well, we better let them know that they should probably change their band name.
It's not.
I don't think Skinny Kitty's aware of that.
I don't think it. No, they weren't Skinny Kitty. It was Stick Kitty.
But, oh, okay. So Skinny Kitty is still going strong.
Well, now I gotta
check out Skinny Kitty on SoundCloud. We'll be providing links.
Is there actually a Skinny Kitty?
Not with that kind of attitude.
There's a Skinny Kitty Tea House on Facebook. There's a Skinny Kitty Farms. I'm looking up Skinny Kitty.
In order to
Skinny
succeed,
Kitty Band. Skinny Kitty Band. That's what
you
I'm
must
looking.
Must only believe.
Skinny
Kitty.
Skinny Kitty.
Skinny Kitty. Skinny Kitty.
Skinny Kitty and Sybil Ray play 2030 Dundas West. That sounds.
How about the Skinny Kennedys?
Oh my God! Sorry, everyone. I'm so gassy.
Skinny Kennedys.
So before our second and final topic, would you like to give some?
We're coming up on the hour mark here at the Alien Brothers Podcast. We're keeping it live, keeping it fresh, keeping it real.
Yes. Would you like to give some updates on any of our social media activities? Any comments? Any shout outs to other podcasts on the network?
As always, I would like to point our loyal listeners to GNUWorldOrder.info, which is Klaatu's homepage, where he has his own podcast and he hosts his own stuff there. What he doesn't post on Hacker Public Radio, or maybe he posted on both his own homepage and Hacker Public Radio. I don't actually know, but he has a following. He has a following.
In other words, we need to be listening to more podcasts on Hacker Public Radio.
In other words, you need to listen to more podcasts on Hacker Public Radio. I have listened to a good number, and I am a fan. I'm a fan of the work.
But you can only name one.
No, if I loaded up the... the schedule, I could name a few that I've listened to.
Okay. Topic number two.
Topic number two. Hold up. I would just like to point out, I believe this was posted on the Alien Brothers Twitter and Facebook today.
I better open this up.
Yeah, that got some action. I'm just going to read you this. This is from Ron Swanson. If you're not familiar with Ron Swanson, he's a character on Parks and Recreation, and he's a bit of a meme. And if you don't know what a meme is, then you're not listening to the show, so it doesn't matter. It says, "Dear Ajit Pai FCC, or at Ajit Pai FCC, I noticed your pyramid of greatness and thought it felt strange in your office, given your stance. So I went to see Ron Swanson to ask if he'd care to weigh in, and he dictated the below to me, American flag." This is what Ron Swanson had to say. "I'm flattered that your pyramid of greatness has inspired you. I will remind you that the top category is honor. Sadly, based on your duplicitous handling of the net neutrality issue and the way you are willfully ignoring the public you claim to serve, I feel you may need that term defined, which means, of course, that you don't have it.
Thanks, Gerald.
So, that wraps up our net neutrality and repealing of net neutrality. Okay, on to the next one. Related? I think so. What do you think? I think it's related.
I think there's some there's a key feature in the topic that is represented by things such as legislation that favors the widening of a gap between the ultra wealthy and the ultra poor, which was something that happened in Rome, which was an
where all roads lead to.
Well, led to. So the topic.
They still say that though.
Yeah, I know. But the topic you threw down was basically about, I mean, I don't know where you wanted to focus, but I think it was about civilization decline, right?
Civilization decline? That's a whole other category. If we're talking about civilization decline, we'd have to talk about the sixth great extinction, which we are now living in. That's a completely different story. Can I lay it down?
So what is the topic? And if it's why, civilizations collapse, keep in mind how stuff works.
Can I kick it?
Yeah, do it, man. Lay it on.
Can I kick it?
Since I apparently don't know what the second topic is.
Can I kick it?
Let's hear it.
Can I kick it?
Yes.
You are obviously not a fan of A Tribe Called Quest. You're supposed to say, yes, you can. All right. So, second topic we're talking about here on the Alien Brothers podcast with Casper and Rutiger.
Word.
Is the fall of the Empire.
Ah, yes.
The fall of the Empire. And this is topical not only because of the repealing of the FCC net neutrality or the rolling out of net neutrality. It's topical because a new Star Wars came out this weekend. So empires are, they're striking back. And we also feel that they should be brought to a swift decline. At least that's my feeling. There is actually a rating system that is used by some international agency.
I haven't heard the topic yet. Is it that
the topic is the decline of the empire?
What empire?
You pick it.
Okay, you're saying empires in general.
The decline of the empire. I mean, really,
of any empire.
What country has military bases in every other country?
You're talking about you want to talk specifically about the decline of of American imperialism.
Yes.
That's bold. And we were going to keep this under 2 hours?
Yeah, we're going to do it. We're going to do it short, sweet.
I'm going to let you do the talking, and before you do that, are you going to define empire for our listeners?
Yeah. Have you seen, if you've seen Star Wars and you see the stormtroopers, they're the white ones in the big robot suits. That's the Empire. And so they show up and they get out of their, starships, and then they just start shooting people.
Okay.
That's kind of what we do. But except we don't see it because we're not in the other countries.
Three things real quick, and then I'll let you rant. One, those are not robot suits. Those are people inside of body armor when you refer to Star Wars stormtroopers. Two, the definition of the definition of empire is an extensive group of states or countries under a single supreme authority. In the olden days, that authority would typically be called an emperor or empress. It has other definitions too. I think that's the definition you're talking about here. And three, if we're talking about the decline of American imperialism, then wow, you're biting off a big one. Remember that you're being listened to.
Remember that if you are a true Star Wars fan, you should know very well that George Lucas created Star Wars as a cinematic analog to the Vietnam War. Were you not aware of that?
I've never heard him admit to that, but I have definitely heard that he wrote it as an analog to many different wars and other contexts as well. He pulled from a lot of different sources, but no, I hadn't heard specifically about the Vietnam War. So in that,
it was going on at or right before those movies were released. I believe if there was a war that it was going to be focused on or most closely resembling, I believe it was the Vietnam War.
If that's the case, who were the Viet Cong in Star Wars?
They were the rebels.
Okay.
They were just defending their country.
Okay.
A lot of the Viet Cong thought that the Americans were French or Japanese because they had been fighting people trying to take over their country for
forever,
generations and generations.
Yep.
It was the Japanese, and then I believe it was the French, and then it was us. My dad said that when he was over there, a lot of the forts were old French forts that they'd stay in.
Indeed.
So
and in Apocalypse Now Redux, the extended edition of Francis Ford Coppola's masterpiece, there's actually a whole deleted sequence where, as they are going up into the heart of darkness, up the river, where they stop at a French plantation. That is a holdover from the French colonial period in Vietnam. So, yeah, very interesting. I hadn't heard, but yeah, that makes sense. I mean, that was that war. Our involvement in that war was shutting down as Lucas would have been thinking about Star Wars for sure. But then again, he was thinking about it for a long time. So, okay, the decline of American imperialism. So go.
The decline of the empire, more specifically, the empire. There's so many different angles we could tackle this from, but I know we only have a short time, and I don't want to test Hacker Public Radio and try and push past the 2-hour boundary. But as you said, you don't have to work tomorrow, so you can stay up as late as you want. So we could do a couple pods if you wanted to do a couple nice and tasties.
But okay,
we'll talk about that.
We'll see how things are. But go, the decline of the empire.
The decline of the empire. So the reason this relates to net neutrality is because I've seen, as I've been growing up, as I've developed, as technology has evolved from iPods with no display to iPhones with apps and Facebook and selfies and Instagram and Insta chats and Insta messages and WhatsApp and all these super cool fun things. Look at me. Look at me. Are you looking? Look at me. Okay. People have become so self-obsessed and narcissistic that they're doing things like making their own podcasts. Can you believe that? It's like, come on, leave it to the professionals. Jesus. Okay, that was a little bit too meta, but people are so into their phones. They're looking at their phones all the time. They're with family. They're at the dinner table. They're on their phones, Now, let's repeal net neutrality, and maybe, just maybe, that will wake up some of the American public that has been put into a comatose daze by these apps and games and things and you got to click and you got the dopamine feedback effect and you got to keep checking your phone, see who posted on your last message, and then you got to see if somebody liked it, how many likes did you get, and then you got to check it again, and then your phone goes off, it goes ding, and then you got to check it. You know what I'm saying? Do you feel me?
Are you suggesting that by net neutrality being weakened or removed, therefore making it more expensive to participate in the opiate that is social media, that basically citizens will have to wake up and do other things like realize the world that they're living in?
Yeah, they might actually have to go outside. And this is something that was touched on in an episode with Klaatu and other members of the HPR community. They were talking about how to build grassroots movements, and the first step is going outside, meeting your neighbors. If you live in suburbia, a lot of people don't even know who their neighbors are. Where back in the day, everybody knew who their neighbors were, and if you didn't know your neighbors, you probably couldn't get by.
Yeah, if you didn't, or you ran them out of town.
You know, like, can I borrow some sugar? I am your neighbor, you know? Or an egg or milk. That was a thing. People did borrow, and people depended on each other. It's the social fabric that keeps us together. We're a tribal being. We need people around us, and we've been put into this matrix, if you want to call it, and this kind of is starting to pivot to the big one that we had talked about, but I don't want to go that far. I just wanted to say that I think people have been so centered on technology and just looking at their phones and looking at their phones. On Jimmy Dore, for example, he was talking about, could you imagine if they made a drug that made people just look at their hands all the time? Like, imagine if there was a drug that was just taking the world by storm and everyone was just looking at their hands for no reason. And that's essentially what it is. Yeah. It's ridiculous. I think it's horrible.
Well, it's social media obsession is frequently considered what's called a process addiction, which is
the dopamine feedback loop.
Yeah, it exhibits the other symptoms, not all of them necessarily, of a substance addiction in terms of having it alter your mood, having it consume increasing amounts of your time and other resources, anxiety or discomfort if you don't engage in it on a compulsive basis. And process addiction, so that this would be an example of one, so I think the analogy is apt, you know. So that would, you know, looking at your hand compulsively as a form
ignoring everything around you, you're running into a phone pole, running mm-hmm. into traffic, because you're on this drug and you're looking at your hand.
Yeah. Or on the drug or not, you know, you have having the right, the right. The obsession to do it in order to trigger a dopamine cycle. So the question to that analogy would be, you know, is. And this is, you know, an argument that you can make on both sides. Is there any intrinsic value to social media that would take it beyond? Now, we might still very well be addicted to it, and I think many people are. I think there's certainly studies that probably won't show up in the show notes that make it. To me, it is intuitive that many people are addicted to social media, and all you have to do is look at around you. You certainly have a friend or a family member or maybe yourself who wonders sometimes. I'm not talking about you specifically, Casper, of course, but that someone who's listening who wonders, do I spend too much time, you know, engaging in social media or playing a video game or playing...
If you're asking yourself the question, yet then the answer is probably yes.
Potentially, yeah. But... yeah,
I'd say 75%. I don't know.
That's a good number. In terms of in terms of mapping it to the fall of an empire, the most I think you have an interesting point. The one I made reference to, which is that, you know, maybe if we did not have this distraction, you know, I use the word opiate specifically because lots of
opiate of the masses.
Yeah, right?
Opiate wars in China, and then we took over Afghanistan and we pumped up the opiate production, and then we got oxycodone, and we got all these big.
It works at all sorts of neat levels, not to mention that, you know, religion's also been called the original opiate of the masses. Anything to distract people from, and I'm not saying...
That's true.
And nothing against religion at all, but just distract from something that might be closer to real, like an understanding or the best understanding we can have of what's going on. So yeah, there's some valid points there. I mean, when you talk about the declines of empires, you know, I think of the most studied example of all time, of course, would be the Roman Empire. And there's
bread and circuses, baby, bread and circuses.
I'll let you talk about the bread and circuses. The points I'm aware of that come up in, I would say a majority of the research into it. It's been so overstudied, but you know, a lot of factors cascading went into Rome's decline, but they seem to break down to, I think, about 10 or so. And if I remember, it's like decline in morals, political corruption, inflation, military spending, because the empire was so big. So the border by definition required more and more money. What else am I forgetting here? Oh, public health was bad. Place was filthy. I can't remember what the other ones are. But certainly when it comes to net neutrality, this might give us an opportunity, or lack thereof, it might give us an opportunity to wake up a little by pulling the dongle out of the back of our head, our collective head.
Yeah.
Although I don't really think that's very likely to happen.
First you got to terminate the insect in inside your head and get rid of all that black goo. Remember, before they could, you know, pull Neo out of the Matrix, they had to, get rid of that big insect.
Yeah, it was a tracking device. It was a bug.
Ooh, a bug.
Get it? The thing that they pulled out of his belly
button.
It was.
Yeah, it was. Right. And what are we communicating over right now?
The ether?
We're communicating over the widest spread bug in the world.
Well, yes, we are being listened to. That's true.
That's why when I believe we were at the beach and we kicked off the Alien Brothers podcast, we were talking about the NetApp file system Waffle, and all of a sudden I got some ad for like Eggo waffles or something. It was ridiculous. I was like, okay, all right, putting the cell phone in the fridge now. All right, Snowden, you win.
That's so. I don't know if you shared that with me. That's terrifying.
No, it's absolutely true. I thought I did.
I think you're looking to, with you. Are you sure you, at the, when we did the grocery run on the way there, we didn't buy some waffles?
We did not buy any waffles. We were talking specifically about file systems as a potential topic for the podcast, and we were talking about the NetApp waffle file system, and I said you knew a lot about that. Maybe you should talk about it more. That's the only context that waffles ever came up. guarantee it. And I got that ad while we were at the beach, so.
And the only context in which I know a lot about NetApp's waffle file system is when you compare me to a Neanderthal man. But
okay, well, going on the same point here, I want to point our listeners to something that will be in the show notes that just came out on December 11th, so that was 4 days ago. Former Facebook exec says social media is ripping apart society. Did you hear about this?
No.
Did you hear about this, Rediger?
No, I haven't heard about it, but I agree.
So this guy, Chamath, I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name. He spoke at a Vanity Fair event. I was at Stanford University. And he spoke out about the harm of social networks, what it's doing to civil society around the world. He joined Facebook in 2007 and became its vice president for user growth. He says he feels tremendous guilt about the company he helped make. I think we have created tools that are ripping apart the social fabric of how society works, he told an audience at Stanford Graduate School of Business, before recommending people take a hard break from social media.
Mm.
And there is an hour-long discussion that you can listen to. I honestly only listened to about the first, or I actually watched the first 20 minutes of it on YouTube, which I may soon have to pay a premium for. Actually, it depends on if what they do with VPNs, but we'll see how that goes.
But then so, after 20 minutes, you had to stop because you had to go check Facebook.
No, actually, I had to go to sleep.
I was joking. You are the least engaged with Facebook person I know, to your credit.
I cut off Facebook as soon as I realized that I needed to cut off Facebook.
It was just like the elves with the three elvish rings. As soon as they realized their nature, they took them off.
Yeah.
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that.
Some listener will get any. Yes. So yeah, it's
yes. I'm not as good as Stephen Colbert on Lord of the Rings. Trivia.
My good friend and sometimes bandmate Jim was an anthropology major at UVA, and what he noticed before what we know of as what is now called social media, but this was in the mid-90s in college, where we had precursors to that. You know, we had text-based virtual chat rooms, you know.
MUDs.
Yes, exactly. Like Foothills was one that we used, where you build your little...
Are you surprised I knew that term? Because I'm such a young buck, I wouldn't know about these sorts of things.
Do I do that a lot? Have I offended you?
There's ageism. I'm always feeling the ageism here.
I forget what a huge nerd you are that you've done so much research and that you actually know these things. I mean, I am 10 years older. So, I mean, when I was doing that, I was in
so
my...
So you think.
It's all, I've been laboring under... It's like my poor ex-mother-in-law who found out her husband, after they got married, was 10 years older than he said he was. Sorry, I just had to share that. It's so terrible. Poor woman. Anyway, I had to bring some levity here. So,
okay.
All right. So,
anyway, this Facebook founder, he said that he tries to use Facebook as little as possible, and that his children, quote, aren't allowed to use that shit. He, end quote. He does use very he drops a lot of F-bombs and stuff in his talk. It's kind of funny, but he prefaces the whole talk with he says basically, when you get right down to it, if you want to boil it down, there's 150 people who own everything. If you want to break it down, 150 people own everything, infrastructure, they just own it all. And he says that what he's trying to do, or at least what he's saying, and he's gotten some flack from other people. And this has been discussed on other programs, but he said that he's trying to get at least into that room, you know, get behind the curtains, if you will, with those 150 people, and at least he can have some bearing or to try and have a positive influence, you know, in that realm. At least that's what he's telling us. So
what's he working on now to do that?
Well, he's got a social, it's like social investing or something that he's doing. So he's trying to use money as a tool for change. And that's essentially the message of his hour long talk there is that he's trying to invest in change. So the most extreme example that he cites of how social media can be a bad thing was he said the worst case that he cited was in India. There was this fake news or this rumor or urban legend going around that people were like raping people in some town or something, or there was some rumor or some myth, but it was going around on social media and it caught on. And I'm sure everybody's familiar with urban legends. I remember my mom got one. She's like, oh, I heard if there's a car with one tail or with one headlight out, then it could be like a gang. And if you flash your headlights, then they might like try to kill you. And that's part of their MS-13 initiation or something. And she actually got that from like a school email. But it turned out it was just an urban legend that had somehow made it through to the PTA or something. But in India recently, with the power of social media, some urban legend or myth led to the lynching of 7 people in the streets. And it was all based off of this hoax. So that's how bad social media can get. And that's not even to mention all of the suicide, depression things when people are bullied. You know, that's been covered ad nauseum through South Park and through other much more entertaining platforms than this. Or not the platform, I'd say show. Sorry. Didn't mean to offend Klaatu and the rest of the gang.
It's definitely an interesting thought. I guess my responses are, and to finish my thought regarding Jim the anthropologist, he was watching us do our MUDs and play early shooters like Marathon and whatever the first one, network shoot, probably some version of Doom that actually let you play other players on a network. And it was like, you know, the center point of a village historically in early times would be the fire. It would be like the bonfire. And the central point in this particular small civilization or this social group we have are all of us facing each other while facing away from each other. He thought it was just an interesting thing. And then
right, we're all alone together.
All alone together. Very interesting.
No, I did, but I use that term if I'm in a group and everyone's on their phones, I'll be like, oh, hey, at least we can all be alone together.
Yeah.
Just to try to, you know, get people off of their phones and talk with people and get maybe eye contact, maybe a little bit of eye contact.
Well, that example of, you know, that fake news that led to all that chaos in India, was it? I mean, yeah, that's totally tragic. I guess the argument would be, I'm not saying we have it right now, but it would certainly be when you think of the list of characteristics, certainly with the Roman Empire, that led to its decline.
Gluttony.
Yeah, sure. But the one that's not on there is technological.
Amazon.
Amazon.com was not on
Jeff
there.
Jeff Bezos.
The one that's not on there is technological advancement. In fact, the one that's on there is lack of technological advancement, because monies that would be funneled into that wind up getting funneled into military and into the segregation, specifically what you're referring to regarding the 150 people that control everything. You know, there tends to be a tremendous wealth element associated with that, and
the Rothschilds.
Yeah, so it's interesting that, and then you mentioned bullying, where the counter argument would be is there's always been bullying, and until there are moral and moral changes. I mean, I'm talking back to like apes bullying each other. I mean, animals, primates bully each other. Other animals, lower mammals bully each other. I don't even know if insects do. But the point is, you know, that existed before. Now there's greater communication, which amplifies the terror associated with it. I was bullied. Mostly in middle school until...
And you always will be.
No, I was fortunate.
It's Casper checking in on the Alien Brothers podcast, keeping it real.
Okay, well, I'll just stop the story I was sharing there with our listeners and say, are we going to wrap up this segment? Was there anything else?
No, you're talking about getting bullied, and I was just bullying you for fun.
My recommendation would be that... even though you might wind up getting your ass kicked, and sometimes it will tremendously backfire, because anything can go wrong. And I mean that in regards to absolutely anything that can happen in the world. But there, I tend to be a believer in the truth that when you stand up to bullies, they, at a bare ass minimum, go find somebody else to pick on. And that certainly was the truth for me. And it came out of exasperation, basically. Like
you became a man.
In that exact moment, I grew a foot and a half, and hairs started sprouting out where there were no hairs before. And I started. I started to smell bad, and at that moment, I was a man. And
you're like, why do I smell so bad? Oh, I have to use this stuff. It's called deodorant. Oh, yeah. There's hair under there. Oh my God.
Yeah, hair where there was no hair. Then I took it, I'll finish by saying I took it too far for a while and beat up bullies, so I became the bully of bullies.
But you were the anti-bully, but that's great.
I was like the Dexter of a couple bullies, but it wasn't even, there was nothing altruistic.
Oh yeah.
There was nothing.
The ultimate hunt. The ultimate hunt.
Yeah, my lizard brain. There was nothing, to make it absolutely clear that I'm not deluding myself, there was nothing altruistic about it. It was revenge. it was purely self-satisfaction seeking.
I hope it was served cold.
It felt very good. At the time,
that's all that matters,
and it feels very good to think about now. Don't go picking on bullies.
Be the anti-bully bully.
If you see someone being bullied,
you should step up.
Is that
say if you see something, say something?
Is that like the stop, drop, and roll? Are there there have to be like slogans and best practices now for bullying?
When I was growing up, they had a thing. They had this acronym. It was called like debug, and it stood for something like distance yourself from the person, and then like E stood for, you know, explain that you don't like the behavior, and then like B was like, I don't know, back away. They had some kind of thing about like if something, you know, if you're being bullied, this, you should debug that, you know. That's what I grew up with.
Was the G, since it was the last letter for gonads, this is where you kick the bully?
No, it was like go tell a teacher, basically. well, yeah, that's the best advice in that, and that's why nobody took it seriously because they're like, yeah, right.
My G is better. My G is better.
I found it. It's still a thing. Stop and debug anti-bullying program.
Okay.
Definition. Bullying is repeated and intentional acts of physically or verbally aggressive behavior over time that involves a real or perceived imbalance of social or physical power, with the more powerful person or group attacking those who are less powerful in order to harm them by bodily injury, discomfort, fear, slander, or threat. Policy. Any form of bullying, as defined above, between students and between staff members, and between staff members upon students is prohibited. All acts deemed as bullying by administration will be subject to disciplinary action.
Yeah.
And I'll give a link to this too. Oh, okay. So here's what debug actually stands for. My recollection is horrible because, again, we didn't listen because...
you were too busy being bullied.
We were like, teachers, leave those kids alone. Phase one, stop. But stop isn't even in debug. It just says stop. I don't know why.
stop and learn what says, debug means.
Stop. Right. So D is for decide to ignore.
Okay.
So if you're being bullied, you just ignore it, which can it can work sometimes if because they want a reaction. Usually, yes. Bullies they want a reaction. If you ignore it, they might just move on. It's like playing dead. You know, it's like, oh, that kid's already dead inside. So why am I gonna kill his soul?
Mission's already accomplished.
Yeah, you know,
moving on to the next.
That was me a couple weeks ago. All right. Wow. So the next one is exit. So it's basically, decide to ignore it, see if it'll go away. If not, exit, you know, flee. The B is for be calm. I don't really know if you've already exited. I guess then you don't want to have a panic attack, so you should be calm.
Yes.
The U stands for use I message, which if I'm recalling this correctly, this means like, I don't like the way it makes me feel when you call me names, which is not going to get you anywhere.
I thought it meant like use I, like EYE, like look at the bully, like if you keep this up, I'm gonna kick you in the gonads, which is all I had to do.
Did you see Dexter? You want to see him? Okay, all right, that's what I thought. All right, turn around. We're talking about like Donnie Darko, you know, fending off the bullies, picking on the girl.
There's no bull. I was never participating in the beating of any bully that didn't deserve it.
That's right.
I'm okay.
So Tupac was your contemporary because Tupac never did a crime that he didn't have to commit.
Man, there's the age.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. And G?
G is, as I told you, get adult help.
Oh, man.
Wah, wah, wah.
It is fucked up. I mean, I can't. I can remember like being bullied in the halls, which has an extremely small locus of people watching, and like I can't imagine like what it would be like to be bullied on Facebook. I mean I feel something right now just like putting myself in that situation.
How about if you were raped and the video was then put on Facebook and you were then bullied because you were raped? And you killed yourself.
That's
pretty horrible, isn't it?
To say the least. I mean, there's the words evil were about to cross my list, but you know that's a
whole nother level.
That's a terrible fucking thing. It's an abomination. But I guess to your point though. Everything, including every technology, can be used for good and evil. So does it become a question of governance, or does it become a question of I think to your point, and to the point of the former Facebook exec, you know, there has to be a point where some sanity has to prevail. As a culture, we seem really bad at acknowledging that point. But you know, maybe as a species, actually, you know,
because as a culture and as a society, we are consumers. We are taught to consume.
Yeah.
From before we can speak, we can recognize the Golden Arches and Ronald McDonald. And, you know, more kids know who that is than George Washington, or, you know. So it's part of our America, fuck yeah, capitalistic society that we are consumers, we consume. So that's what we're taught to do.
Yeah.
There's a great documentary that I will also put in the show notes, as I'm noting all of the show notes here live as we speak.
That's the only way to do it, man.
Yeah, it's hard to go back and do it.
Because that fuckwit Gerald isn't going to do it.
Oi, you tall Bobby, bye. No, we're not talking to you, Gerald. Okay. He just has to stay in the corner. We can't talk about him.
What is the Blair Witch here?
I thought that movie was it's probably rated as good as it was. It was neither over nor underrated.
The remake or the original?
The original, I believe. If it was made back in the 90s.
Yeah, they remade it, and it's to me as
horrible.
To me, it's just as silly as the first one, basically. But the difference being that the first one was innovative and essentially launched the found footage genre. And I've read and learned a little about how they made it, including, you know, the cast not being completely in on everything that was going on, supposedly, that actually raised my esteem for the film as a cultural event. I just didn't think it was that enjoyable to watch, is my point, I guess. That's all.
Okay.
I'm sure I'll enjoy The Last Jedi a lot more.
I hope so. I had a couple friends that went and saw it last night.
And they you said will say it was nothing good. More.
They said it was good.
Yeah.
That's all I heard. They said it was one of the better ones. Out of which group? I don't know.
Out of all of them, I hope.
I don't know. But there are two documentaries. It'll take me a while to find them because Deutsche Welle is a German broadcast network, and they have some good documentaries because they have a tax-based public broadcasting system like we used to have. And they have two, which I've watched recently. One's called Greed and one's called The Divide, but they're basically about the same things. The Divide is the large divide between the rich and the poor, and they also explore that people in societies, like if you're in a poor society and everybody's poor around you, you're not going to have an issue. But if you're living in, say, Norway or Sweden, and everybody's well off, but you're like the only poor person, that's when you're going to have a lot of anxiety and issues.
No shit.
So, yeah, well, it's something that they one of many things,
yeah,
that they went over. But Greed was also a good documentary in how it centered a lot of the points that I've already talked about, how we're just designed and we're programmed from a very early age to consume, and that people try to seek immortality by just gaining more and more and more stuff, because they feel like the more stuff they have, the more they like they'll be able to live on somehow. I think that's fair. I think that the fear of death That's a real thing. People are afraid of. Not necessarily us, but I'd say most people are afraid of death, not being here. What does not being here mean, right? I don't know. I've always been here, as far as I know, right? Yeah. These are the questions. This is the Alien Brothers podcast with Casper and Rutiger.
This is good. This is some good extra follow-up data. I'm definitely going to be checking out these documentaries. And I agree that, and I don't know whether I haven't really done intensive research, although I'm sure it has been done. I don't know if I believe it's a species thing or a society thing, but certainly at the society level, societies in decline definitely exhibit the loss of compassion for people.
Absolutely.
And almost the, I put that another way, which is the essentially the consumption of people. So
did you see the way that cop consumed that kid in the hotel hallway?
Well, yeah.
You see that?
I mean, well, that's really what.
That was brutal.
Well, I mean, or any celebrity that, you know, there are egregious crimes that are committed by all people, including celebrities. But okay, the example I love to use.
Oh, Josh Homme kicked some photographer in the face at K-Rock acoustic Christmas festival or holiday festival.
Yeah, but
he was really messed up too. But.
Yeah, I saw that, and nobody on earth that knows Josh Homme would be surprised in the least that he would kick someone, including a photographer, in the face while performing, and that's, it's still fucked up, and my opinion for him continues to drop. I haven't reached the point where I won't listen to his music,
too.
But yeah, I mean, he's a dick, but the the one I find the easiest to use as a definition would be like the Lindsay Lohans or like the Tara Reads, where it's like we are obsessed with their self-destruction, and you know, you can tie that directly back to the Colosseum in Rome. And it's, you know,
right,
where you literally had the Christian or whoever being consumed by a lion for entertainment. I mean,
celebrity chefs, direct connection to Rome.
You know, truly, you're making fun, but I know you know what I'm talking about.
I'm not making fun. That's the truth. That's the truth.
You know, and not to, you know, pick on him specifically, but you know, the Perez Hilton style of, you know, let's pick out every fault in our.
Oh, you're talking about Perez Hilton again,
Gerald. It's the last. I'm giving him a final warning. Yeah, Perez Hilton.
He has a Gerald. Cares nothing for our warnings. We wish to consume, you know, we want to feel better about ourselves, but it's also and it's Schadenfreude, and it's like, well, it's fucking hilarious that this privileged person is self-destructing in front of us. You know, it just, it's like a base need that's being fed, and it's you know, that's you know, part of the moral fiber of society unraveling, basically.
I don't like to get political, especially because politics is just, as Frank Zappa said, the entertainment arm of the military industrial complex.
And that's the same thing, so true.
Yeah, but just the hate watching, it's just hate watching.
Yeah.
People are like, oh my God, oh my God, do you see, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I'm so upset about this. Oh, do you see what, who tweeted this? Oh my God, oh my God. I'm just like, wait, at least let our new woman president invade another country before, you know, I mean, what, like Obama was, you know, our president for 8 years, and all the hope and change that at least my generation was hoping for, you know, I saw that it was gone, you know, after the first 4 years. I didn't vote the second time because I didn't see any difference between Romney or Obama. I saw very little difference between Trump or Clinton. And it's just, I think George Carlin put it best when he said that, you know, he does more not voting, staying home, than by going out and voting and giving any kind of legitimacy to that whole charade, the selection.
Well, rampant political corruption is definitely on the list of empire decline, and we have that. And I'm not just referring to our current president. We've had that for quite a few decades. So,
and I like what Julian Assange also had a nice quote. And I'm sure we have many fans of Julian Assange in the Hacker Public Radio community, but he said essentially Obama was a wolf in sheep's clothing. Trump is a wolf in wolf's clothing. And I think that's accurate.
It's we like to consume, and we're happy to take on any spectacle that can be shown to us. And it's why I was asking you the other week about what do I come home and listen to for the news that's not CNN, because CNN's news cycle has become locked in 100% to what did the president say today. And I don't, that's not really, in the grand scheme of things, most days that important, because I think we've kind of figured out what he's about, and I'll leave it at that. I guess I need to go to the BBC next, but
BBC, RT, Al Jazeera, any international broadcast service will not focus on what our president is tweeting.
Yeah.
And I want to know what happened around the world. What were the big things that happened? I don't need to know about what somebody tweeted or hear some crap about Russia. It's all garbage.
Well, I'm glad we went into the we ricocheted off the atmosphere's surface of the forbidden planet of politics. But I'm sure we'll be back one of these days on the Alien Brothers podcast. But for now, we're coming up on that magic point, you know.
Yeah, the magical moment where we don't want to cross into the boundary of the Hacker Public Radio limits.
We don't want to fall out of any good graces, and we don't want to push or lick the envelope unless it's absolutely necessary. And I think we've whipped these things to the point that we lost our listeners long ago.
There's always another time.
Redemption is possible.
We'll have to see what Klaatu thinks. I think he's got the final say.
I think he
if he hung on then he's probably the only one.
he's a man of great wisdom / potential severe illness. But we will see.
I want to end on one note, and I do. No, that's not fair. Well, let's see if you can answer it correctly. I'm not even sure if you were listening at the time. But let's see if you can answer correctly, Rudiger.
Okay, lay it on me.
I this is a call and response, so we'll see, because you failed at the can I kick it, so I'm gonna try something a little bit different.
If it's hip hop, I'm gonna fail. I mean,
okay, well it's not, so let's just try this out.
All right.
What about the voice of Geddy Lee?
How did it get so
high? I wonder if he speaks like an ordinary guy.
I know him. And he does. That's my fact-checking cuz.
I was supposed to say that. Thanks, you're my fact-checking cuz, but close enough.
Sorry, I know him. I met him and he does,
I know him and he does.
Yeah.
You're my fact-checking cuz.
So,
all right.
how do we want to wrap it up here? This is the Alien Brother. Just in case anyone.
This is the Alien Brothers podcast with Casper and Rediger.
You have not been listening.
This is the Alien Brothers podcast.
You have not been listening to a different podcast. This is the Alien.
This is the Alien Brothers podcast with Casper and Rediger.
All right. Well, I'm going to hit the stop. I'm going to hit the stop button. Then I'm.
Well, I'm going to shut down. I'm going to shut down, sign off, and disconnect.
Okay.
In 3, 2, 1, see ya.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next
time.
Bye. Peace.
All right. Tap to also. Oh, should I cut the tape now?
Shut up.
Yeah, cut the tape.
Gerald, you can cut it now. Gerald.
Oh, I decided to cut it.
Yeah, Gerald, cut it. Cut. Did you stop the tape? Are we?
Oh, you say stop.
Okay.
The Alien Brothers Podcast with Casper and Rediger.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.